Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. Well, it's about 2 weeks after 6 days in the dome ended, and I finally feel mentally like I can give you guys kind of a little bit of a recap of how it went and everything. It was such an absolute pleasure to do the live podcast with Jenny when she was at home and I was at the dome, and that was just so much fun. But it really didn't get into the full details of what all went on, and it was so much fun. I will tell you, this was one of the hardest things I have ever attempted, but man, am I ever so glad that I went and attempted this thing. The people I met were unbelievable. Just straight from the bat, I'm going to tell you that if you ever get a chance to do a Mike Melton, Bill Schultz race, it is top notch. Two of the best race directors I've ever seen. They managed to do not just 6 days in the dome, but there was also a 10-day race. There were multiple 24-hour races within that 10 days. There was a multiple 72-hour races, multiple 48-hour races, multiple 12-hour races. I'm telling you, there were people coming and going left and right, and these guys pulled it off without a blemish and with smiles on their face and some of the best food that you could ever imagine in a race. I mean, we were provided with lunch and dinner every single day during the race, and it was never a bad meal. We never went without the calories that we needed in order to keep on popping about the track. Some of the performances at this meet were just out of this world mind-boggling. Paweł Zuk is a Polish ultra runner from Poland, obviously. Paweł Zuk is just, watching him move is just like magical. And, you know, he set several records during this thing. And, you know, even admittedly to him, he didn't do everything he could simply because he didn't really have the competition. He stayed well in front of everybody, but Robert Witten and Martin were just right there on his heels, pecking away at everything he was doing, and just amazing, amazing 10-day runners. For those of you who followed the 6-day race, Megan Eckert came in, and she was looking to break Camille Herron's 6-day record that she set at the Lululemon meet in, I believe it was April. And Megan started out like a firecracker. I think she had something like 126 miles on day one. And I'm sitting there doing the math going, this is possible. You know, 6 days, if she could maintain anywhere near that, she could break it. She didn't. She had a horrible second day, but man, to watch her rally and to do it with a smile on her face and just kind words for all the other competitors. I can't tell you enough good things about Megan Eckert, and I hope you guys follow her because I think the ultra running sport has gained a true gem, and they may not even know it yet. It's kind of like when I first met Tara Dower, and I was like, holy smokes, this girl's going to set the world on fire, and now she is. Like, I am picking Tara for a podium finish at Hard Rock this coming weekend, so I'm just, you know, going to lay that out there now that this will air on Tuesday. The race begins on Saturday, and I am picking Tara Dower for a podium at the Hard Rock, and that has nothing to do with 6 days in the dome. Isn't it weird how your mind goes? But anyway, I was just overwhelmed by the people I met. Fiona Hayvice, one of the top New Zealand ultra runners. Meenal Kotak, who is one of the top ultra runners from India, along with Arun Bhardwaj, who is also one of the top Indian ultra runners. Got to meet them, spend time with them. A guy named David Johnston, who probably nobody has heard of, but some people should pay attention to him because he's just an amazing runner, and he just has this tenacity and endurance and just does it all with a smile on his face all the time at the race. I was overwhelmed by the people I got to meet. Let's just put it that way. I would say the biggest summary that I have from my birthday present to myself on my 60th birthday was people. I got to meet and spend time with some of the best people who encouraged everybody, who were just, it was an amazing, amazing race. And it was awesome. So how did the race go? Well, I knew going in that physically it was going to be hard. Because, I've done Swami Shuffle 200 twice, so I've managed to move my body for, 222 miles, 96 hours, 1 year, 93 hours the previous year. Push my body through some amazing difficulties that I didn't think were overcomable, but proved to be overcoming. I had never gone past moving for 4 days, though. And that was sleeping in a hotel room for two nights, both of these outings. So this was going to be my first attempt at moving and not sleeping in a bed. I had a little blow-up air mattress, and that was my bed. And I did not realize physically how hard it is to get up off of the floor after you've been moving for 16 to 20 hours. And now you lay down for 2 to 3 hours and you try to get back up and getting off of the floor. I am so glad there were no video of me trying to get off the floor because, oh my gosh, I felt every bit of 6 years old trying to get off the floor every time that I laid down for a rest upstairs in the warm room. The ice arena was cold. But like I said, this thing going in, I knew physically it was going to be hard. There was going to come a point where I reached my ability to move forward physically. And I was excited about reaching that because I never gotten to that point where physically I didn't feel like I could move another inch. And I'll go into that in a couple minutes. But the thing I was not expecting was how mentally exhausting this was. I knew it was going to be mentally tough to go around in circles and change direction every 6 hours. I did not realize how taxing that is on your brain. I was running with Dr. Joel Rich. He's a geriatric doctor out of Gainesville, Florida, who rode a bus 26 hours from Gainesville, Florida to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Just let that sink in, because he came up with his wife, who also ran in the race, and Lana does not like flying. And so Joel sacrificed flying to the race. And Joel is a very, very talented ultra runner that I think you're going to see a lot of in the 24, 48, and multiple day races because he's very talented. He's got a tenacity that just won't stop. So I'm very excited to be following Joel and seeing where he goes. But Joel and I, on like day three, we were joking. We were, cruising around the track together. And he said, all of us uncrewed runners should get like 100 extra laps or something like that, because watching the crewed runners, the runners who had crew there and who were taking care of filling their bottles and laying their food out and laying their vitamins out and, making sure they were taking their supplements and checking on their feet and taping their blisters and doing all that kind of stuff. And then, we're fumbling around trying to, pop blisters and tape them and take care of little ouchies and trying to decide, okay, is that a niggle or do I need to KT tape that or do I just go all through that? Oh crap, my bottles are all empty. I gotta remix scratch and go get some water. And it was funny. I had the third day, I had to do a "Help, I'm out of mashed potatoes," and ask one of the runners, helpers, crewmen, "Hey, if you're going to the store, can I give you a 20 and have you pick some stuff up for me?" Because I ran out of throat lozenges, because one thing physically I did not realize is being in recirculated air, how quickly your throat would dry out. And so throat lozenges became a lifesaver. But it was amazing. So, and he was very gracious about going. He could pick me up some more Sprite, pick me up Vaseline. Desitin became a very, very good friend for the nether regions, which chafed in spots that I didn't even know you could chafe there. We'll just leave it right there at that. But yeah, Joel joked and said, "Man, wouldn't it be great if those of us who are having to do all this crewing by ourselves got an extra 100 laps?" And I'm like, I think it's worth 200, maybe 300 extra laps around the dome to not have a crew. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter. Everybody's running the same miles. You're moving the same miles. It doesn't matter if you're crewed or not crewed. And we hung in there. Joel ended up finishing fourth male, seventh overall. I ended up finishing sixth male, 11th overall. Really, really proud of where I finished, and 322 miles. But the mental exhaustion part of it was the part that I was not expecting, I think, because I got to a point, and this is kind of like on the third night, it was probably sometime after midnight, and I was moving around and I was like, okay, I'm going to move until like 2 a.m. and then I'm going down for a nap. And I felt like it was 2 a.m., like three laps later, and I'm looking at my watch, and like, this is the point where mentally it got really, really tough, because your mileage wasn't moving on the mileage chart on the screens that you passed every lap. And, you know, my watch wasn't working at all. And so, you know, I couldn't keep track of pace on my watch because there was nothing that was really matching up. I have since learned how to set your Coral's watch when you're an inside thing like this. I learned that in the last 2 hours of the race. So I went 142 hours without knowing how to track. And the last 2 hours, I was like, I don't think I really need to track the last 2 hours. So, but I did learn, so I'm ready for the next time. But what became really hard is you would sit there and you'd look at the mileage chart. And, you know, so like a good example was I went into the night going into day six, and I wanted to hit 300 before I tried to go down and get some sleep before coming out and, you know, banging out the last. I wanted to put in a good six and a half hours before the day ended on day six. And so I wanted to hit my 300, and it seemed like I was on 290 miles for an hour. Now, I wasn't on 290 miles for an hour, but every time I looked, I was still at 290. And it seemed like I had been moving for an hour. Now, maybe that's because I was bouncing off the cement pillars. Not quite sure. Maybe it's because my head wasn't all there. Not quite sure. But the mental part of I'm never going to get there, you know, and which is funny because you're not going anywhere. You're still inside the dome. But I wanted to get to 300 before I laid down. And so It took a long time. From 290 to 300 was probably the longest part of my life that I've ever lived. It was so difficult. And mentally, I finally just had to say, you know what, quit looking at the stupid screen and just move. Just put together 4 or 5 minute laps, because that's about what I was capable at that time. I was in so much pain. My feet hurt, my quads hurt, my calves hurt, my ankles hurt, my knees hurt, my shoulders hurt. Why do your shoulders hurt? I couldn't figure that one out. There were just so many things that, you know, you're just pushing through by that point. Finally hit 300, and I was like, okay, we're going to go two more laps, just so it's not just 300 right on the dot, and then I'm going to bed. And I went to bed, didn't get any sleep at all. It was probably like, I probably got up to the sleep area right around 2. Went in, kind of rinsed off in the sink and everything, because I didn't want to go down and take a shower, and rinsed off in the sink and tried to lay down and just could not find a spot that something didn't hurt. And I think I was down till maybe about 5-ish or so, maybe grabbed an hour or so sleep in that time. Around 5-ish, I got up and said, okay, I'm going to go get some coffee and drink some coffee. Went down the elevator, forgot my bib, went back up the elevator, grabbed my bib, went down the elevator, forgot my coffee cup, went back up the elevator, get my coffee cup. Yeah, that was very taxing. But went back out, and in the last 6.5 hours, I did another 22 miles, so I was very, very happy with it. So, you know, really, really satisfied with where I went to. Tell you some of my favorite stories from this thing. So about, I think it was the morning of the third day, I went downstairs and I realized that the people that I was around, that I was not going to make a podium. So around the third day, I just decided, you know what, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to greet everybody with a smile. I'm going to try and just provide, you know, humor for everybody and just try to get a smile out of everybody and encourage everybody. I just decided, you know what, I'm going to be who I was created to be. I was created to be an encourager. And so I'm just going to encourage people and just try to be as one of the Japanese runner called me the good cheer runner. He's like, you are the good cheer runner. And I was like, thank you. I actually kind of like that title. So I came up with the weather report. So here you go. Here's the weather report from 6 days in the dome. Good morning. My name is Mike, and I'm your weatherman for today's weather report. Today, it will be 55 degrees. The humidity will be right at about 35%, which means that the real feel inside the dome will be about 52. There is a 99% chance that you will experience some pain, and a 110% chance that you're going to experience discomfort. Enjoy your day. And then the rest of the time, I would come up with different variations of that, and I would greet everybody as I either pass them, or they passed me, or I went by their table and they were sitting there just trying to decide, do I want to move? And I would just greet them with this. And so some people smiled. I did get growls from some people. I will admit that there are some people who are not morning people, and they do not need to be greeted with much enthusiasm in the morning. Unfortunately, that's who I was. So I greeted everybody with a lot of enthusiasm every single day. My biggest thing that I decided to do was to pick runners who looked like they were struggling more than me and to come alongside them and just say, okay, I'm going to encourage this person to do outstanding things and to move beyond what they expect they can move and just to be an encourager to them. And so I would pick them. However, there were these two people. So around the middle of day four, I was sitting in 15th place. And I don't know how all this started, but one of the runners, she decided that she was going to announce to me that she was going after 10th place. And I was like, okay, cool. That's nice. I was ahead of her. No, I was actually a little bit behind her at the time. But I was moving better than her. And so I don't know if she was concerned that I was going to pass her or what. But she laid down and I just kept on. And so I kept on going over, just piling up miles. Another runner, a Canadian runner, had gone out first day, and he was balls on fire, man. I mean, he was cooking around the track. He was doing awesome. And I thought, wow, this guy is going to be, 400-500 miles and everything. He's going to be right up there with Meg, because his first day, he was right up there with Meg. But he had some foot problems, and, his daily mileage started declining every day. And I was like, well, I may be able to catch him. And then there was another gal who had to leave kind of, I think it was the end of day four. She had an injury that she just didn't want to push through. Felt like it was, one of those injuries that if I go on it, it's going to push further. And she was up there and I was like, okay, so here's three people. I could move up to like 12th place, maybe 11th place if I get really, really lucky. I maybe could chase the 10th place person, but I was kind of doubting it because she was just a warrior princess. And I was just like, this gal's got more fight in her than I know. And so she was probably about 60 miles ahead of me at the time. And comes out the morning going into noon, which would be the end of the fifth day. First, this gal comes up to me, and I had caught up to her. And I was now standing in, and we had passed the runner who'd stopped. Everybody had passed them. And so I was sitting in 11th spot. And this gal goes, hey, I'm shooting for 11th. It's mine. That's where I finished last year. That's where I'm finishing. I'm finishing in 11th. And I was like, okay, well, you're going to have to earn it. And I didn't say anything else and just kept on going around the track. And then the gentleman came in and he said, dude, I'm gunning for you. I'm going to catch you. Because I had passed him in the night too, because he had gone back to his hotel room, slept in a bed while I was trying to suffer, sleeping on my little air mattress. And he's like, dude, I'm going to catch you. I said, well, bring your A game. And I do not know where that came from, because I was just like, ooh, Mikey's got some competitive spirit. And so the rest of the day and a half was me fighting off these two. So like at one point I went outside and laid under a tree for like a half hour and I came back in and they had caught back up to me and I was like in 12th place. No, I think I had dropped to 13th place because they had both passed me. I was like, well, screw that. I'm catching them. And so I was just focused on catching them. And so I was like, I'm staying in 11th. Well, I narrowed that margin down to and this is going into kind of my last session on the track, which was 6.5 hours. And I was only 6 miles behind number 10. I had about 6 miles on number 12 and probably about 10 miles on number 13, which are these two people that wanted position number 11. And I just decided, nope, I'm just going to stay steady. I know what I'm good at. I had been taken under the tutelage of Evo Majetic, who is one of the top ultra walkers in the world. And he had said, hey, just get on my heels, do everything I do. And I found that I could match him step for step. And we were kind of moving at, he told me later, around an 11 and a half, 12 minute mile pace around the track for an hour. We did 5.2 miles in an hour, which was a great hour of 6 days in the dome. Well, so I put a lot of distance and I got within 3.5 miles of number 10, and I'm thinking I'm going to catch her. And so I, at one point, was going around with her, and we were kind of doing the same pace and everything. And she said, you really think you're going to catch me, don't you? And I was like, I'm going to give it my all. And she was just so nice. She was like, okay. She said, I'm not stopping until the end of the day. So you better not stop. You better plan on moving the whole time. So I did close to just under, I think I was like 2.8 miles behind her at the end of the race. And I was really excited about that because I closed a lot of ground in the last couple of days and found that I do have some competitive juices. I was just so thankful for Evo kind of taking me under his wings. I was very challenged. Chet Blanton at one point in the night, kind of day six nightish, that last night we were out there. He's the one who said, hey, Mike, it'd be really something for your first time doing the 6 day thing if you hit 300 miles. He said, I'm just challenging you to stay out on the track until you hit 300 miles. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And then the next day, I was out there, and Ed Eidinghausen, the jester, Ed comes up to me and he goes, hey, man, it's a big deal if you hit 500 kilometers in a 6 day event. And I was like, okay, how far is it? And he's like, it's like 312 miles. I was like, all right, I'm gonna shoot for it. So I hit 500 kilometers. So then I had gone over 500 kilometers, and another one of the runners, Barney, came up to me and he's like, okay, so you're over 500 kilometers. Don't stop moving. Keep on moving, because who knows what you can end up with. And so I hit all these marks that people were saying, you know, for a first time 6 day person, you know, who's never done this before, this is great. And you've, you know, hit a lot of good range for somebody my age to do that. You know, a lot of people said, man, you blew our minds because you did more than what you did. So the thing I want to leave you with as we close out this thing is, remember at the very beginning, I said that one of the things I wanted to get to was to hit my limit, to get to that point where it was like, I can't physically move another mile. I can't mentally move another mile. I can't gin up another spiritual, let's get on fire and go move this another time. And so I was sitting at around 270 miles, just probably a hair over 270 miles, and hit my table on the track. And I was just like, man, I can't move another I can't move. I just can't move. And so I laid down on the cold concrete, didn't even have the energy to cover myself up. And I just laying on the cold concrete, and I had reached that point. I had finally reached the point of, I have done everything that I, Mike Horner, can do. I can't physically move another inch. I'm done. Mentally, I'm done. I'm done fighting. Everything hurts. Everything aches. I'm exhausted, physically exhausted. I've probably gotten maybe 12 hours sleep at that point. I was exhausted. And I remember laying on the floor, and finally I just said, okay, God, I've always wanted to hit this point. I've always wanted to hit, what's my limit? And now I believe that you can fill me with the strength to carry on. And you know what? That moment, and I don't know what time of the day it was. I'm pretty sure it was day. We had gone past, I knew it was past noon, so we were into the sixth day. I was exhausted. I was just physically exhausted, laying on the ground. And I said, God, this is the point I've always wanted. This is where I've always wanted to get to, where I can't move another inch. Will you fill me with your strength and move me on? And he came through. But God. And, you know, this is kind of where I'm at in my walk right now, is like, I can do a lot of things on my own, but God can fill me with a strength and with the power and with the mental strength that I need. He can fill me with the physical strength that I need to continue to go out and encourage other people. And, you know, from that moment, I mean, it was, I will tell you, it was not enjoyable getting up from that floor. But I got up from that floor and I just said, okay, whatever happens, happens. And from that point on, I did another 52 miles. And you know what? I realized, when you reach the end of you, there's just something that is going to happen. And so my hope for all of you is that you reach that point where you're at the end of you. And now you can duck into a power that you never, ever, ever thought was possible, if you're willing to submit and to ask for His strength. Now, I'm not telling all of you you have to be a Jesus follower or anything like that, but I'm telling you that there's strength beyond what you think you have that you haven't even tapped into yet. And when you tap into it and you run those last two laps like I did at 6 days in the Dome, with tears flowing from my eyes, knowing that I've just done something I never thought possible. 322 miles in 6 days. And you know what? The best is yet to come, because I've got some audacious goals and some big things in mind, and God ain't through with me yet. So you know what? If He can use a broken down 6-year-old vessel like me, just think what He can do with some of you young bucks. That's all I got this week for Living an Ultra Life. That is your 6 days in the Dome recap. And if it sounded a little, you know, mixed up and everything, just imagine what it sounded like in my head. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.